WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. In Chicago's Bronzeville neighborhood on the corner of 24th and Wabash, you will find the church that is home to the oldest Black congregation in Chicago, one that dates back all the way to the 1840s. Now, as you would probably expect in a city like Chicago, Quinn Chapel has a long history of Black activism. The congregation even lent a hand during the Underground Railroad. Now, with such a long and storied history, the chapel is getting a long overdue makeover to restore its former glory. I sat down with Reset's architecture sleuth Dennis Rodkin for more on the upcoming renovation project. And Dennis starts with what stood out to him about the space.
You know, I have been in a lot of historic buildings, obviously, for this work, and a lot of historic churches in Chicago and elsewhere. This one is different. This one is so interesting because it's so grand. It's from 1891. Mm-hmm. The sanctuary is up a flight of stairs from the sidewalk level. Mm-hmm. And when you come in, you've got this 60-foot ceiling above you lined in tin, pressed tin, like you see in old storefronts or barbershops.
Wow.
Farrell's Ice Cream Parlor in the 80s. 60-foot ceiling lined in tin. And then the knee wall that runs all the way around the balconies also lined in this pressed tin. And another thing that just amazes me is the sides are lined with these beautiful stained glass windows in sort of a purple and yellow pattern, and they're all intact.
Wow.
1891, all those windows are still intact.
That's amazing.
It is. And then there's this forest of iron beams. It's not, you know, like the big Gothic stone pillars. It's iron beams that run up supporting it. It's really a remarkable building.
It's a sight to see. Now, for those who might not know, Dennis, fill us in on the historical significance of this Chicago church.
Well, it's interesting. There's a man named Will Miller who is one of the heads of the church and also the head of their historic preservation ministry. And one of the things he said is, we're essentially the mother of Black Chicago. So as you said, they date back to 1844, not in this building, obviously, but they start in 1844 as a prayer group of seven households at a time. So the Black codes are in effect in Illinois, making it very inhospitable for Black people to live in Illinois, and less than 1% of the population of Chicago. Chicago's 8,000 people. There are 60 Black people in the city, and a group of them get together as a prayer group. This develops into an AME congregation. And as you said, they helped freedom seekers along the way. John and Mary Jones in particular were heads of this. We've talked about that in a past What's That Building segment. And then they build this church in 1891. And it's such a sign that we are an integral part of Chicago society that we have built this monumental, very beautiful church.
Yeah, so, you know, the church plays this important role in the Underground Railroad. Also, some very famous faces have passed through, right, making speeches there.
Yes, Frederick Douglass. There are these great old newspaper articles at the end of the World's Fair, the World's Columbian Exposition.
Mm-hmm.
Frederick Douglass is leaving, and they celebrate him at the church for his accomplishments. Both presidents, McKinley and Taft, spoke there. Martin Luther King spoke there. Mayor Harold Washington spoke there during council wars, trying to garner some support for his side. Many others, but those are some of the biggest of them.
Man, to have been alive at that time, well, for some of those speeches, for me, I mean.
Yeah, and in this, and so that's why they don't call it the sanctuary.
The sanctuary, yeah.
They call it the sacred auditorium because it has been used so often as an auditorium, and it is a sacred space.
Now, the building was constructed, as you mentioned, back in 1891, and it was designed, Dennis, you write, by really two people, one for its exterior and one for its interior, Henry Starbuck and Charles McAfee. What should we know about these two men and their work?
Well, first of all, Henry Starbuck is a real name. A lot of people laugh when I bring it up. But Starbuck is this interesting character who comes from the East Coast, works in Chicago and Milwaukee briefly, does this church, a church in Milwaukee, a church in Michigan City. But then he moves to California and builds churches all over San Diego, Los Angeles, Fresno. He's very well known out there for late 19th, early 20th century churches. This, as far as I can tell, is the only AME church he did. They were primarily white congregations he was building for. I don't know that for sure, but I'm pretty confident that it's true. The other man we don't know very much about.
Charles McAfee,
we don't know very much about. We know that the City Landmark Registry has him designing some gray stones on the west side, and that's really about it. But he is the one, reportedly, who designed this spectacular interior that just makes your jaw drop.
Pretty much, yeah.
WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Let's move to those renovations, Dennis. So it's being done in phases, it sounds like. And I want to maybe just start from top down. The ceiling, that's changing, but it's kind of going back to how things were in the beginning. Is that right?
It is. Bring back all that tin to its gleaming, shining origin. At some point in the 20th century, it was painted over. Now it's kind of a mustard color. Looks as if there may have been other colors used at other times. And a lot of that paint, when you walk in now, a lot of that paint is falling down because they've been waiting to get to this stage of the renovation. So it looks a little shabby right now, but when you stand under that roof and imagine all of that shining again in a silver tin color, and again, all the way around the balconies as well, that's going to be really remarkable.
Gorgeous. Okay, ceiling to floor, right? What's happening with those classic red carpets in the church?
Going blue. That's all coming out, and it's going in blue. One of the reasons for that is that there's blue in those stained glass windows, so you sort of pull out that element. And all of this starts later this summer. You said start top to bottom, but let me start in the middle.
Yeah.
So I said the sacred auditorium is one flight up from the sidewalk. At sidewalk level is their fellowship hall. This is a $7 million renovation project. They've done about $4 million, which includes utilities and other things. But what the space that has been renovated is that middle piece, that sidewalk level fellowship hall, so that they can move services and other things that happen upstairs down into there starting this summer, then do the work above in the sanctuary we've been describing, and do the work below in the basement. So it's not technically a top-to-bottom job. They started in the middle, brought back all this beautiful wood from its original 1892 look, expanded the bathrooms. The church used to have very few bathrooms. And they put in a whole new set there on that level. So that's essentially sort of the staging area.
Right. So you saw that it's almost done.
That part is done.
It's complete. Okay.
Right. And so then they move everything down into that space and can work up in the sacred auditorium.
Right. Well, they're doing something pretty unique with the basement. What's the plan there?
Well, this is fascinating. We don't have one, and we should have an Underground Railroad Museum. Chicago had we didn't have the level of activity that Ohio and other places had, but we did have a lot of Underground Railroad activity in Chicago and the Chicago area.
Right.
Naperville, Wheaton, and other places. And so what they're going to do is honoring people like John and Mary Jones and the other people in the congregation who worked with the Underground Railroad. They're going to develop the basement into a museum of the history of the church, history of the Underground Railroad in Chicago. And so you'll come in, you know, you're touring all sorts of other sites in Chicago, and you can come in and actually see what Chicago's role and this church's role was in the Underground Railroad, then go up and see this sacred auditorium where a lot of the people spoke.
Yeah.
Again, so we need to be clear.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it's important to be clear that Underground Railroad activities didn't happen in this building. They didn't get there till the 1890s. Where they were at the time that they were providing shelter for freedom seekers was where the Monadnock building is now, built later. in the loop, but they're going to memorialize it in the building they've been in since the 1890s.
How awesome is that? Now, you were pretty clear in your article. You say some features of the church are not going to change with this renovation. Lay that out for us.
Well, those spectacular stained glass windows.
They're staying.
Really, I mean, to see such a complete set in such good shape is pretty wonderful. And the pews, which are beautiful wood pews with carvings at the ends. And another thing that's not changing is on the wall up behind the altar is a mural of a black Jesus painted in 1904.
So that's staying.
And that, well, yeah, people are so proud to have this rendering of a black Jesus. And there are angels and other figures, but that's going to be kept intact.
Yeah. Well, when are the last phases of this project expected to be finished?
They hope to be done by the end of 2025.
Okay.
So then services would move back in to the auditorium. And one of the things they'll find is, we talked about things that aren't changing, but one thing that is they're updating the sanctuary in a certain way. They're going to have a video wall that runs sort of behind the pastor across the back of the stage.
So more technology.
More technology.
More technology.
To keep those young worshipers interested.
For sure, for sure. Now, any other cool tidbits that you can share from your visit? I mean, I know that you talked with a Quinn church leader. You also talked with the architect who's behind this revamp.
Right, John Gay of Jack Corp. He's been doing this, all this work. And one of the things he showed me, it's really interesting. So it's this giant room, right, with plaster walls. And they've apparently been plastered and replastered over time.
Mm-hmm.
But when starting the work to plan the renovations, they dig inside the plaster to find, you know, what's inside here? What can we? And they actually found what they believe is the original decorative scheme from the walls. There's not much still there.
Mm-hmm.
They pull it out, and it's a shield with a banner across it. And John Gay has looked into it, and he feels that it's pretty strongly an Afrocentric design. I couldn't see it well enough, but certainly,
really?
He's the expert. And so what he wants to do is replicate that all the way around the room.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
Which would be pretty remarkable. Right now, so you've got this very patterned stained glass, you've got this really bold tin roof, and then white plaster walls. It seems very likely, and they confirmed that it is when they dug into the walls, that the walls would have been pretty patterned as well in that Victorian era.
Every piece of this church, every corner and nook of this church has a story.
It does. And it's all going to be brought back and put right there for everybody to come and look at.
Well, before I let you go, Dennis, you are cooking up something pretty special with WBEZ for this summer. I wonder if you could just tease what's coming up.
I ride my bike a lot.
Yeah, we know.
I thought that was a good hit. Well, there's a reason I brought that up. We're going to put together a long bike tour of buildings that you might say, what's that building about?
Oh, I can't wait. For now, we'll leave it there. That's Dennis Rodkin, Crane's Chicago Business residential real estate reporter. Thank you, Dennis.
Thanks, Sasha.
If you see a building or interesting structure that you would like Dennis to investigate, remember that you can leave us your name and the description of the property in a voice message at 888-915-9945. That's 888-915-9945. Or you can send an email to reset@wbez.org, and we just might have Dennis cover it on the show. This episode was produced by me and Meha Ahmed, who also edited the episode. It was mixed by Brenda Ruiz. If you love learning about Chicago's architectural history, these episodes drop bi-weekly. Subscribe so that you never miss a conversation. Thanks for listening.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue, as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely.